Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.
After yesterday's first reading, where St. John reminds us to avoid deception because deceivers will break our fellowship, our communion with each other, with the church, and with God, today the Apostle reminds us of the great commandment to love each other. And he uses quite strong language to get this across, too. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Whoever does not love, he says, remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. 1 John 3, verse 14. And the example he presents is that of Cain. Cain, he said, belonged to the evil one and slaughtered his brother. 1 John 3, verse 12. So in truth, Cain actually first killed his brother in his heart before killing him out on the field. His anger and envy and jealousy quickly turned to hatred. And in hating his brother, actually the first person he killed wasn't Abel. Whoever hates, says St. Augustine, is a murderer. You may not have prepared any poison or committed a crime. You have only hated, and in doing so, you've killed yourself, first of all, said the doctor of grace. So Cain first killed himself spiritually before bathing his hands in his own brother's blood. Cain mirrors and imitates the devil in all of this. The devil rejected man because of his anger at God's plan and because of his envy of us, which easily morphed into hatred. Cain rejected his brother for the same reasons too: anger, envy, hatred. Abel became salvation history's proto-martyr, so the first martyr. Cain became its proto-murderer, first murderer. Cain's hatred blinded him to his brother's goodness, to the goodness of God as well. That's what hatred does. It blinds us to goodness. This is why our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount says, not only is killing or murdering sinful, but even anger towards your brother can be sinful. He says, you have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22. Typically, as life unfolds, we see who God's children are and who the devil's children are. They tend to separate as life unfolds. St. Augustine once again says, everyone can make the sign of the cross. Everyone can answer Amen. Everyone can sing Alleluia. Everyone can have himself baptized, can enter churches, can even build the walls of basilicas. But charity is the only thing by which the children of God can be told from the children of the devil, says St. Augustine. So it's not in externals that you tell the difference, it's in charity. Charity that makes all the difference. And it's not true that as long as I don't externally show or express hatred or anger or envy or jealousy, then I'm not sinning. It's not true. We might not even think of it as sinning at times because the internal lack of charity is towards others is just so common to us. It's just who I am and what I think, we tend to think to ourselves, right? In reality, cherishing hatred for someone means that we're developing the disposition of a murderer. And we're forfeiting God's grace and maybe even eternal life if we don't repent of that. As children of God, as children of the light, to use a phrase of St. John, we're called to love others, which means, as we know, that we need to want and to will what's best for them. Loving someone means actually doing good to them and doing good for them. And since God is goodness itself, he's the standard of what's good, then what I do to others must be pleasing to him. It must be in accord to his standard. So love and goodness are not relative terms in the sense that they don't mean whatever I think or want them to mean. They're rooted in God's own nature and in his commandments, love and goodness. Love is meant to begin in our thoughts and then extend to our words, to our actions, to our choices. St. Gregory of the Great tells us that our love must always be demonstrated both in respectful speech and in generous service to others. And the Lord gives us the most basic, the most simple, the most complete rule of thumb for how we are to love others. He says, do to others as you'd have them do to you. Very simply, right? Matthew 7, verse 12. So ask yourself, do I like it when people think badly about me or presume the worst about what I say or do or attribute selfish or sinister motives to me? Or when they focus on what I do wrong? Do I enjoy it when people gossip about me or run down my reputation or criticize me? Do I find peace and joy when people belittle me or hurt me or mistreat me? My guess is the answer to those is no, right? Well, don't do it to others. And when you learn to not play the accuser, you'll find God's peace as well. Our Lord, in the same Sermon on the Mount, says that the way I judge others is actually a preview. It's a preview of how God's going to judge me. Ouch. That's hurtful, right? For we, with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure that you get, he says in Matthew 7, verse 2. So if I struggle with envy or jealousy or bitterness or hatred towards someone, what do I do about that? First off, you have to recognize it. You know, recognize that you have those thoughts, bitterness, anger, envy, jealousy, criticism, hatred. Recognize and acknowledge what's inside of you. And admit that it's not a good thing that it's in there, too. It's the first step to doing what we've mentioned a number of times before. It's the first step to taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ, which is what the apostle tells us to do. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Then I need to do what I should do with any problems that I have. I need to bring those thoughts to the Lord. Present them to Him. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him to help let go of those uncharitable thoughts. Ask Him also to help see the good in others too, and to look on our enemies, as it were, with a spirit of mercy. Anyone towards whom I have anger or envy or jealousy or criticism or hatred, in a certain sense, they really are my enemy, since they're an enemy of my spirit, as it were. I also have to pray for those who I'm not charitable towards. Again, whether or not I express it exteriorly doesn't really matter, because God sees it all. God sees what others don't see, and He wants to clean up that interior mess, first of all. Praying for others is a simple and a great act of charity, and it helps repair and rebuild any spiritual damage that we've done to others, and most especially the damage that we do to ourselves. I also need to ask myself, why am I so envious or jealous of that person? Why am I angry? Why do I have hatred or animosity towards them? Again, as I grow spiritually, I should be growing in self-knowledge. If I know why I feel or think a certain way about someone, then I can begin to look for ways to address that and correct it. Maybe even seek out wise counsel as to how to heal or to let go of these things which hamstring my spiritual life and my relationships with others too. And as I grow in self-knowledge, I also begin to see how, without God's grace, you know, maybe I have been in the past, or certainly could be, a really terrible person. Probably even far worse than the people I complain about at times. Self-knowledge brings with it humility. Humility is always accompanied by mercy. The two are like peanut butter and jelly, essentially. They're inseparable. Humility and mercy, they go together. Merciful thoughts are charitable thoughts, and they naturally tend toward charitable words and charitable actions. So then lastly, as we say ad nauseum all the time, in order to love others, I need to learn to interiorize God's love. I need to take God's love for me to heart. I need to know in my heart that I am loved in order to freely love in return. Prayer, again, always plays a huge part in this. Prayer and reflection, reflecting on God's goodness, His mercy, His patience, His kindness, his understanding, his compassion, even reflecting on Jesus' great sacrifice for me and his great love for me too. If Cain would have known God's love in his heart, he would have never offered something inferior to God. He would have offered something special to the Lord, and he would have never hated and killed his own flesh and blood. I think that applies to a lot of people who take innocent life, probably, when you think about it, right? If they would have truly known God's love in their heart, they would have never taken the life of their own innocent flesh and blood. So we need to pray for them, that God's love and mercy would open their hearts so that they can become children of the light, as St. John would say. And lastly, really the last thing we'll say, St. Augustine says, "You may tell me I have not seen God, but can you say I have not seen man? Love your brother. If you love your brother whom you see, you will also see God, because you will see charity, and God dwells within charity," says St. Augustine. So let's ask Our Lady for the grace to let go of any resentment or bitterness or anger or criticism or unforgiveness or envy, jealousy, hatred, all those nasty things, anything that we have towards others. Let's ask her for the grace to let go of those things so that God can once again find a welcome home in our hearts. Praise be Jesus and Mary.